Hey,
can the daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables fit into just 6 capsules? Yes. We start by sourcing organically grown whole fruits and vegetables. We ensure they are picked at peak ripeness. All of our produce is third-party tested for pesticides, heavy metals, bad bacteria, and nutrients. They are then washed, cut, and put through an advanced vacuum cold process, which removes the water using pressure. This maximizes the nutritional value while preserving the color, smell, and taste of the fruit or vegetable. The freeze-dried food is then ground into a fine powder without adding any additives, fillers, or extracts. These powdered foods are then mixed in our proprietary blends and encapsulated, locking out air and moisture. The capsules are then bottled and shipped directly to our customers. Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
Everybody, just letting you know that Mike Lindell and I, the MyPillow guy, we partnered up. And he wants to help this show, and I want to help him. If you go to MyPillow.com and order all the products you know you're going to buy, towels, sheets, blankets, robes, all these kinds of things, dog beds even, go to MyPillow.com and use the code word KATE, K-A-T-E. You're going to get the deepest discount on all these items. They're the very best of all these items. He handpicked these things. And let me just tell you, you're also going to help Truth and Radio, and you're also going to be helping Mike Lindell. Isn't that fantastic? It's a great combination that you can do right from your own home. Call 800-873-1052. That's the phone number, 800-873-1052. You can order directly on that phone number or go to mypillow.com, but make sure to put the code word KATE in. Thanks, you guys.
Do not listen to this show. The truth can be scary. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Have you ever heard of some fellas who first came over to this country? You know what they found? They found a howling wilderness with summers too hot and winters freezing. Did they have insurance for their old age, for their crops, for their homes? They did not. They looked at the land and the forests and the rivers. They looked at their wives, their kids, and their houses. And then they looked up at the sky and they said, thanks, God, we'll take it from here.
They were rugged fellas.
They were men.
Oh, it's one of my favorite clips coming into the show, and I probably use that clip the longest time I've been on the air. Anyway, love good old John Wayne, don't you? Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I'm happy to have you today because today is going to be a little bit more of like an information show, and I actually like those. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to spend time listening to a show, I want to learn something. I want something that I can tell my spouse about or my kids about at the dinner table. I'm just that way. I want to gain something from listening, and I hope that we do that service every day. I really do. And today, I want to share with you a guy's story that went online a while back, and he was from Bosnia. And I want to share this with you because I want to share with you some of the insights from somebody whose government collapsed. Okay. Now, when I say that, I know some people out there, their first thought is, oh my gosh, more gloom and doom. I'm going to jump off a bridge. No, it's not about gloom and doom. And let me explain why. I was talking to my youngest about events unfolding, and you know, social media right now for our teens and young adults is just exploding with political stuff. So there's an interest there, younger, I see in my kids, politically, than there ever has been. So they're very, very aware of things going on. Although on their newsfeed, it's getting very tainted from liberal speak, okay? But the reason I'm sharing this with you is I would hope that we weren't afraid of the things that I feel are going to be happening in this decade. And I know you think, but my gosh, we could get to a place where it would be very desperate and very difficult if the economy stops or if something very bad happens. I get that. But I also know that even those things will pass. You can get through anything. Anything. But you have to at least learn from our history to know what to do, right? We all do. Me too. So I want to learn from history, and I want to, because right now we are the generation that's been probably the most blessed with so many history lessons and so much forewarning and so much just the advantage of understanding how things work, that we are the ones that could actually put together a game plan. And if you have a game plan, why would you worry? Things could get very rough, and I do think we're going to see some things get pretty rough around 2024, 2025. But right now, you have some time to prepare. So even if things get bad, you'll survive it. And the other thing is, hey, guess what? You'll get through it, because all things like that come to an end too. You know, I know that there are those that went through the Great Depression that had wished they would have known certain things going in, or wish they would have had more lessons, you know, to glean from. But we have their lesson to glean from now, right? And we also have these people who lived in all these other countries, even Venezuela, that have experienced so many things, that why are we not just learning from them? There's no reason to be afraid. So stop being afraid of it and embrace the things that you can do right now to get ahead of it and prepare. So let me bring you this guy's story, because I think this is very, very compelling, and he made some great points. He was in Bosnia. His name is Selko. He was in Bosnia from the time, you know, between 1992 and 95. You know, every decade with every president has its certain area with where the CIA goes in and generally wants to boot certain leaders so they can install the ones that will go along with the World Bank. And in the Clinton area, it was Bosnia. Okay. And so this was, he said it was hell. He said, for 1 year I lived and survived in a city with 6,000 people with no water, no electricity, no gasoline, no medical help, no civil defense, no distribution service of any kind or centralized rule. How did he do it? How did they do it? You're going to learn so much from this guy. He said, our city was blockaded by the army, and for 1 year life in the city turned to total crap. We had no army, no police. We had only armed gangs, you know. Those armed protected their families and their homes, and then they had the gangs too. He said, when it all started, some of us were better prepared, but most of the neighbors' families had enough food only for a few days. Some had pistols, a few had AK-47s or shotguns. Now, let me tell you, there was a, you know, pretty major gun control. They don't have a Second Amendment there. And so not a lot of people had guns. But ever since this took place, they pretty much say now that every family has an AK-47 hidden somewhere in their home. I mean, yeah. Anyway, because they remember this. They remember going through this. So he said, after about a month or two, it took about a couple of months for the gangs to start operating, and they were starting to kind of, you know, destroy things and make their presence very known. Hospitals, he said, for example, turned into slaughterhouses. There was no more police. About 80% of the hospital staff were gone. And he said, I got lucky. My family at the time was fairly large, 15 people in a large house, 6 pistols and 3 AKs. And we survived. Most of us survived. He said the Americans dropped MREs every 10 days to help blockaded cities, but it was never enough. Some, very few, had gardens. And it took about 3 months for the first rumors to spread of people dying from hunger and cold. We removed all the doors, the window frames from abandoned houses, ripped up floors, and burned the furniture for heat. And many died from diseases, especially from the water, he said, two from his own family, from the water. He said, we drank mostly rainwater, ate pigeons, ate rats. Money soon became very worthless. We returned to an exchange. For a tin can, you could have a woman. He said, it's hard to speak of, but it's true. And most of the women who sold themselves were desperate mothers. Oh, it just makes me want to cry. Arms, ammunition, candles, lighters, antibiotics, gasoline, batteries, and food. Let me say that again. Arms, ammunition, candles, lighters, antibiotics, gasoline, batteries, and food. He said, we fought for these things like animals. In these situations, it all changes. Men can become monsters. He said it was really hard. Strength was in numbers. A man living alone, getting killed and robbed would just be a matter of time, even if he was armed. And he said, so basically people had to stick together. And he said, it doesn't matter what will happen, an earthquake, a war, a tsunami, aliens, terrorists, you know, economic collapse, uprising. The important part is that something will happen And here he said, here's my experience. You can make it your own and don't stay apart from family, friends, prepare together, choose reliable friends. And he said, you know, how do you move safely around in a city? So he was in a city of 6,000. He said, how do you do that when the gangs are out? He said, the city was divided into communities along streets. He said, our street, 15 to 20 homes, had patrols, 5 armed men from the group every single week to watch out for gangs, for our enemies. And all the exchanges occurred in the street. All the exchanges occurred in the street. The 5 kilometers away was an entire street just for trading. And it was all very well organized. But he said going there was dangerous because they did have snipers. So you could also get robbed by bandits. And he only went there twice. And he said when I needed something really rare, a list of medicine, mainly antibiotics, something like this. Nobody used automobiles in the city. The streets were blocked by wreckage and abandoned cars. And gasoline was very expensive. So if one needed to go somewhere, get this, it was only done at night. He said, you never travel alone or in groups that were too big. Always just 2 to 3 men, all armed, travel swift, at night, cross streets through ruins, don't go in open streets. And he said there were many gangs, 10 to 15 men strong, some as large as 50. But where were also many normal men like you and me, fathers and grandfathers who were doing some pretty bad acts, you know? And he said there were no good and bad men. Most were in the middle and ready for the worst. And he said, what about wood? He said, your home city is surrounded by woods. You know, what the question was, why did you burn doors and furniture? And he said there were not many woods around the city. It was very beautiful. Restaurants, cinemas, schools, even an airport. Every tree in the city and every in the city park was cut down for fuel in the first 2 months. So in the first 2 months, they went through all of that because they were in a city. So that went. He said, without electricity for cooking and heat, we burned anything that could burn. Furniture, doors, flooring, the wood, that wood burns pretty swiftly. And he said, we had no suburbs or suburban farms. The enemy was in the suburbs. We were surrounded. Even in the city, you never knew who was the enemy at any given point. And they said, you know, what knowledge was really useful to you in this period? And he said, to imagine the situation a bit better, you have to know it was practically a return to the Stone Age. He said, for example, I had a container of cooking gas, but I did not use it for heat. That'd be too expensive. I attached a nozzle to it, made myself, and used it to fill lighters. Lighters, like Bic lighters, were precious. He said, if a man brought an empty lighter, I would fill it and he would give me a tin of food or a candle. Bic lighters, who knew? He said, I was a paramedic and in these conditions, my knowledge was my wealth. Be curious, have a skill. In these conditions, the ability to fix things was more valuable than gold. Items and supplies will inevitably run out, but your skills will keep you fed. And he said, I wish to say this, learn to fix things, shoes or people. I'll say that again. Learn to fix things, shoes or people. He said, my neighbor, for example, knew how to make kerosene for lamps. He never went hungry. Just think about that for a moment. Have you ever thought about those items specifically? You know, one of the observations from this, and I have more to say on this, but one of the observations is that they never thought it would get to this in a million years. So most people went unprepared because they just never thought, right? Think about this country. We just think it would never happen here. But if you disrupt the supply chain and something goes on in this country that would prevent the economy from continuing on or something were to happen, this would happen very quickly, this scenario, wouldn't it? Very quickly. More quickly than we can even imagine. Yes, right here in America, with all the things that they could do. That's why I think this hour is really important to kind of think ahead a little bit, know how to do things. We have a great time right now to prepare. Let's use it. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show. Wild, wild, yeah.
Kate Daly Show. Make sure you get over to MyPillow.com. Mother's Day, Father's Day are coming, and the best thing you could do is new sheets, new towels. I mean, those are all the things that, that you know, people usually go more practical on when you don't have to. You can actually do MyPillow, put in the code Kate, get 30% off, and enjoy some of the most luxurious sheets and luxurious towels. I'm telling you, what a gift. Also, the robes, the slippers, the dog beds. I mean, everything that they have, the mattress toppers. They even have wonderful mattresses that are affordable, and a huge array of them. The MyPillow products, if you snore, get the blue one or the green one. You can't find these in stores. It's only on the website, and it can cut the snoring down 90%. I mean, it's amazing what it can do. Please, by all means, go to MyPillow.com. Use the code word Kate, 30% off. We've partnered, and let me just tell you what a great sponsor of the show, because Mike Lindell's doing so many really wonderful things. They're working around the clock. This show will be a sponsored show, a podcast show on the network of this new Facebook called frankspeech.com, which will be coming out soon that you can actually sign up. They just had some hacking issues. I mean, it's been a little crazy, but I'm telling you what a great thing this is for us. It'll be censor-free, and that's what we need. Just getting out of Facebook jail, I can attest to this. Can you even believe Facebook jail? I mean, I can't believe that we live in a time like this. So let me get back to his story, because this story from that comes to us from somebody that lived through what happened in Bosnia. They never thought that their country would overnight, they felt like, be a completely different country. Like he said, going back to the Stone Age. And, you know, I know that people can get gloomy and doomy about some certain things. We don't need to live in a preparedness world. I don't think you have to live that way 24/7 and freak yourself out and your family. But I do think you'll feel better if you get prepared. That if you kind of know some things and you know how something might work, then maybe you can prepare for it better. Like this. A lot of people ask me, should I get a piece of property for a bug out property? Only my answer to that is only, and this is in my, you know, very little information I have that I'll pass on to you, but only do that if you have more family and friends that are joining you. Don't ever just be alone. It's like this guy said that wrote this after being in Bosnia. He said, don't be alone, because those are the people that they lost their lives when they were alone. And so just remember that. If you're going to do a property and you want to be able to get away, then I would suggest you do it with people you love and trust, so you can have each other's backs. But don't be so far away that you can't trade and barter with other people. People work better in communities. And looking around, you know, some communities are better than others, and maybe this would be a good time to move in this next couple of years, right? Because while you can, you might want to have your family in an area that's much better, you know, for them if something were to go down. So the one question this person was asked was, if you had 3 months to prepare, what would you do? 3 months. And they jokingly said, run away from the country. But he said, you know, things collapse really fast. And he said, you know, I have a stockpile of food. Hygiene items were a big, big item. They were right up there with lighters. Lighters were a huge item to have on hand. And he said, batteries. He said, enough to last me for 6 months. He said, you know, he lives in a really secure flat, and he owns a home with a shelter in a village, and he said 5 kilometers away, and another 6 months supply there too. So he had a supply at his other property too. He said, that's a small village. Most people there are well prepared. The war had taught them, this experience had taught them. He said, I have 4 weapons, 2,000 rounds for each, and I have a garden, and I've learned gardening, and I also have good instinct. You know, when everyone around you tells you it'll all be fine, you know, he says, I know it can all collapse. He said, have the strength to do, you know, what I need to do for my family, because when it collapses, you have to be ready. You have to be ready. And he even went as far as to say to do bad things to keep your children alive. I don't know that you need to do that, but I can understand why he says that. Family and groups well prepared with skills and knowledge, it's much better. So what would you stockpile? This was the question. And he said, that depends. He said, if you plan to live by theft, all you need is weapons and ammo, lots of ammo. If not, he said, you don't plan to live by theft. He said, you need more food, hygiene items, batteries, accumulators, little trading items, knives, lighters, flints, soap, anything that had to do with hygiene. And he said also alcohol of a type that keeps well, the cheapest whiskey, is a good trading item. Kind of envisioning those little bottles, you know, that they sell at the mini bars, you know. He said many people died from insufficient hygiene. You'll need simple items in great amounts. For example, garbage bags, lots of them, and toilet paper. I say that as a joke just because we just went through this 2020. Non-reusable dishes and cups, you'll need lots of them. I know that because we didn't have any at all. And as for me, he said, a supply of hygiene items is perhaps more important than food. You can shoot a pigeon. You can find a plant to eat. But you can't find or shoot a disinfectant or something that will help if something were to happen. He said, first aid skills, washing around burns and wounds. Perhaps you'll find a doctor and will not be able to pay him. Learn to use antibiotics. It's good to have a stockpile of them. He said you should choose the simplest weapons. And as far as antibiotics go, I do know that doctors will, send in more refills that you can get filled too. You might want to do that now, right? They'll keep, have them on hand. Anyway, it's good to have a stockpile. He said you should always choose the simplest weapons. He goes, I carry a Glock 45. I like it. It's a rare gun here. And he said, so I have two pistols here. Everyone has them, and ammo is common. And he said, you must own small, unnoticeable items. For example, a generator is good, but 1,000 Bic lighters are better. Generator's good, but 1,000 Bic lighters are better. Why? Because you can trade them. They're small. He said a generator will attract attention if there's any trouble. That's true. He's right. But 1,000 lighters? Compact, cheap, and can always be traded. It's unusually, we usually collected rainwater, he said, about 4 large barrels and then boiled it. There was a small river, but the water in it became very dirty very fast. And it's also important to have water containers for water, barrels and buckets, containers. Make sure that you have containers around. Thought that was really good, really interesting. And, a lot of people have water filters, and I get why. I get why you'd have a lot of water filters. The only problem I foresee with that is the 2010 Rockefeller report said that they were basically in their little plan of action, I call it, training exercise. The projection they put out there was that they pretty much banned all bodies of water and put gates around them so people couldn't go near them. Yeah. So make sure that you have a way to have water. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kate, I've got a good one for you.
Okay.
100-pound bag of lime.
Okay.
Or a slit trench in the backyard, about 1.5 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
You stand on either side of the trench and do your business. Then you sprinkle a little lime on the business to keep supplies off and the odor down.
Nice.
Cheap. All you have to do is store it, keep it dry.
Great. Thank you. That's awesome. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. That was fantastic. Lime. Oh, good. Okay. I like it. He said, were gold and silver useful? I know a lot of you guys have been trading and doing a lot of that. He said, yes, I personally traded all the gold in the house for ammunition. He said, sometimes we got our hands on money. He said, we bought some things for them. We bought some things for them, but this was rare and prices were astronomical. For example, a can of beans cost $30 to $40. Beans, yeah. A local money quickly became worthless. Everything we needed, we traded through barter. And the question was salt expensive? And he said, yes, but coffee and cigarettes were even more expensive. He said, I had lots of alcohol and traded it without a problem. Alcohol consumption grew over 10 times as compared to peacetime. A lot of people wanted to drink. So he said, perhaps today it's more useful to keep a stock of cigarettes, lighters, and batteries. They take up less space. Interesting. He said, at this time, I was not a survivalist. We had no time to prepare several days before all this hit, before their world completely changed. Days. And the politicians kept repeating over the TV that everything was going according to plan, and there was no reason to be concerned. When the sky fell on our heads, we took what we could. Was it difficult to purchase firearms? He said, after the war, we had guns in every house. The police confiscated lots of guns at the beginning of the war. So if you're on record of having one, it was gone. But most of them we hid, And now I have one legal one that I have a license for. And under the law, that's called temporary collection there in Bosnia. So he said, if there's unrest, the government will seize all the registered guns. Never forget that. He said, you know, he said there are many people who have one legal gun, but also illegal guns if that one gets seized. If you have a good, if you have good trade goods, you might be able to get a gun in a tough situation. But remember, the most difficult time was in the first days that happened, right? And he said, and perhaps you won't have enough time to find a weapon to protect your family. To be disarmed in a time of chaos and panic is a bad idea. He said, in my case, there was a man who needed a car battery for his radio. He had shotguns. I traded the accumulator for both of them. Sometimes I traded ammunition for food, and a few weeks later, traded food for ammunition. I never did the trade at home. I never did it in big amounts. So whenever he was bartering with somebody, he never did it at his house. He never did it in large amounts. He said, few people knew how much I had or what I kept at my home. He said, the most important thing was that as many things as possible in terms of space and money, eventually you'll understand what is more valuable. And he said, I'll always value weapons and ammunition the most. Second, maybe gas masks and filters. Interesting. Now, he was asked about security. And he said, our defenses are very primitive. Again, we weren't ready, and we used what we could. The windows were shattered, and the roofs in a horrible state after the bombings. The windows were blocked, some with sandbags, others with rocks. So I'll tell you what he did after I take this call. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yes. How about three things we might do today?
Okay.
Yes. Take the Master Gardener class, the extension service.
Oh, yeah, that's a great
idea.
Well
worth the time and the effort.
Okay.
Number two, take the second class in Master Canning.
Mm.
Number three, join CERT, learn all the survival and preparedness skills, and that those should have been done years ago.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. CERT, CERT, thank you so much. Perfect. That was great.
Thank you.
That Bye-bye. Was great. Love that. Thank you. Great, great addition to this segment. And when I come back, I want to go into more detail. It's interesting, after living through what happened in their country, and even though this was 30 years ago, isn't it fascinating to think back? And, you know, we have some other things now with technologies and other things, but really and truly, would it be about the same? I'm kind of thinking it would. Because like he said, when you go back to the Stone Age, it's pretty representative of one time, of a certain time. And that's what it felt like to them. And they were very unprepared because they kept thinking it wouldn't happen. And he said, eventually the ammo ran out, and that was a problem. Because he said, then people just, you have to know skills and you have to have something to barter with, something that people need. So keep that in mind. But I'll be right back to finish this out. I just thought this was so important today. I just really, instead of having a guest this hour, I just really wanted to relay this to all of you so we can learn from this. Be right back, Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Out there, it's a cornfield where the woods got heavy. Out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy, working on mysteries without any clues, working on a night move.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. So much to say, right, in this hour. And I love the comments so far. Thank you. What great additions to what I wanted to say today about preparedness. Because this preparedness hour, I feel like, is a lot different than a lot that we've done on the show for all the years I've been on. Because we've concentrated on this topic. But this is sort of like your hardcore, this is what happened when everything fell apart overnight, and this is what happened in order. And I thought that was really important aspect of what this gentleman from Bosnia said. And the most important thing to remember is he got through it. He got through it. Don't be afraid. Don't be so afraid that it paralyzes you. There's no reason to get so depressed over this either. I know things are going to happen. We all do. We've been promised these things. If you read scripture, you know. But let me just tell you, there are ways to get through it better, right? And why would we not be more prepared knowing that we are a generation that can glean from so much experience on this? My gosh, we have no excuses and we have every advantage, right? All right, so before I get started, I just wanted to tell you just a little bit about balance of nature. But the doctor that invented this, Dr. Howard, he had been a doctor for years. And when he returned from Russia, he actually had realized that they were finally starting to realize that that phytochemicals were something that we could benefit from in our diet, right? And he said this is when that was just beginning. All the research on phytochemicals were just beginning, and this was 30 years ago. But he said he realized that there were hundreds of thousands of phytochemicals, some discovered, some not, that would never stop as long as people were looking at things in this light. And he said that when he, with his experience in Russia, it brought him to this epiphany that all the super chemicals were being extracted from fruits and veggies, and that this could replace multivitamins, which it did. So this product has 31 fruits and vegetables in it a day in caplet forms, right? And he said they are able to capture the phytochemicals they need in the proper ratio. And so this is going all the way back to 1997, and Balance of Nature Fruits and Veggies, a supplement, merged onto the market, replacing these multivitamins, and it's been going strong ever since, and people have been loving it. He has a passion for people, health, and science, and the phytochemicals are something that can benefit us so much. He appears on shows all over the world talking about phytochemicals. Go to Balance of Nature. Use the code KATE and you'll get 35% off in free shipping. Definitely worth it. And I would order extra and have it on hand. It'll keep. I honestly would do it. So let's go back to security. I played Night Moves just because, I don't know if people realize that they might be doing stuff at night. And he said, the moon, you had to do it when the moon was out. There wasn't any other light. I mean, you had to be kind of stealthy about farming and things like that, gardening at night, okay? So he was asked about security, and he said, I blocked the fence gate with wreckage and garbage and used a ladder to get across the wall. When I came home, I asked someone inside to pass over a ladder. That was how they did it. So when he came home, they asked somebody to pass over the ladder for them so they could get over. That way, they had a fellow on their street that completely barricaded himself in his house, and he broke a hole in the wall, creating a passage for himself into the ruins of a neighbor's house, sort of like a secret entrance. And he said, that would sound strange, except for the fact that most protected houses were looted and destroyed first. The big houses, the things that would attract somebody, right? Attract the looters, the right? Okay. So he said, in my area of the city, there were beautiful houses with walls and dogs and alarms and barred windows. And they were attacked first. And some held out and others didn't. It all depended on how many hands and guns they had, how many people they had on the inside and guns. So he said, I think defense is very, very important, but it must be carried out very unobtrusively. If you're in a city and stuff goes down, you need a simple, non-flashy place that won't attract anybody. And this is why he put out things that wreckage and garbage, so it made it look like it was a horrible place that nobody would want to enter. Very smart. And how much ammo? As much as possible. Make your house as unattractive as you can. He said, right now I own a steel door, but that's just against the first wave of chaos. After that passes, I will leave the city to rejoin a larger group of people, my friends and family. And there were some situations during the war, there's no need for details, but we always had superior firepower and a brick wall on our side. I love it when people talk in code. That's awesome. Okay. So he said, we also constantly kept somebody watching the streets. Quality organization is paramount because of roving gangs. He said shooting was constantly heard in the city. Our perimeter was defended primitively. All the exits were barricaded and has little, firing slits, right? He said inside we had at least 5 family members ready for battle at any one time and 1 man in the street hidden in a shelter. We stayed home through the day to avoid sniper fire. At first, the weak perish and then the rest fight. During the day, the streets were practically empty due to sniper fire. Defenses were oriented towards short-range combat alone. Many died if they went out to gather information, for example. It's important to remember we had no information, no radio, no TV, only rumors and nothing else. There was no organized army. Every man fought. We had no choice. Everyone was armed, ready to defend themselves. You should not wear any quality items ever in the city. Someone will murder you and take them. Don't even carry a pretty long arm. It'll attract attention. Let me tell you something. If stuff hits the fan, you know, tomorrow I'll be humble. I'll look like everyone else, desperate and fearful. I'll fit right in, right? Maybe I'll, he said, maybe I'll even shout and cry a little so that nobody thinks that I'm prepared. Otherwise, they're going to go after your stuff. So he said, pretty clothing is excluded altogether. I will not go out in my new tactical, you know, tactical outfit to shout, I have come, you're doomed, bad guys. No, I'll stay inside, well-armed, well-prepared, waiting, evaluating my possibilities with my best friend or brother. Super defenses, super guns are meaningless. If people think they should steal your things, that you're profitable, they will. It's only a question of time and the amount of guns in hands. He said, he was asked, what is the situation with toilets? And he said, we used shovels and a patch of earth near the house. Does it seem dirty? It was. We washed with rainwater in the river, but most of the time the washing in the river was too dangerous. We had no toilet paper. If we had any, we would have traded it anyway. It was a dirty business, he said. Let me give you a piece of advice. You need guns and ammo first, and second, everything else. Literally everything. All depends on the space and money you have. If you forget something, there'll always be someone to trade, you know, trade with for it. But if you forget weapons and ammo, there'll be no access to trading for you. I don't think big families are extra mouths either. Big families mean more guns and more strength. And from there, everyone prepares on their own. He says, how did you treat this sick and injured? He said, most injuries were from gunfire. Without a specialist, without equipment, if an injured man found a doctor somewhere, he had about 30% chance of survival. Ouch. If an injured man found a doctor, 30% chance of survival. He said, it ain't the movie. People died. Many died from infections and superficial wounds. I had antibiotics for 3 to 4 uses. For the family, of course. For his own family. People died foolishly quite often. Simple diarrhea will kill you in a few days without medicine, with limited amounts of water. And there were many skin diseases and food poisonings. He said, many used local plants and pure alcohol. Enough for the short term, but useless in the long term. Hygiene is very important, as well as having as much medicine as possible, especially antibiotics. He also mentioned working in the light of the moon. And, you know, you kind of think about all these things and what would you have in your arsenal? What kind of medicines, you know, and there are all kinds of medicines. You can get antibiotics, veterinary, in different quantities and things like that. There's all kinds of things that you can do. I think one of the most important things I gleaned from this was kind of the obscure, the things I wouldn't have thought of, the Bic lighters, you know, the things that I wouldn't have thought of. But he said, as long as you have something to trade and a skill, he said, if you have a skill, and it's like the gentleman that called that said, get some cert training. So important, I think, to know and train your kids on how to do these things. But if you know how to do something, or if you can watch some YouTube videos and get taught something, that's a start, right? You'll have to have some real world experience in doing it, not just watching a video. But the thing is do you know how to do stuff? You know, do you know how to do things? Because if you don't, and we haven't trained up our kids to know how to do things, that's going to be tough. And I do think at the end of the day, being reliant on faith is going to be a big, big deal. Because when all runs out, and I notice this as, you know, you listen to the pioneer stories as they were coming this way, coming west, it all came down to faith and letting those miracles come to pass and believing that those miracles could happen. And I do believe that. So that's why I think that your spiritual acumen is as important as preparedness. And sometimes we sort of forget, like we think we have to have every item we're ever going to need, but that's not necessarily true. And he did say, he said, when we ran out of bullets, when there was no more ammunition, the guns were worthless. Knives work better because he said you could, you know, once, and that meant that everyone around him was going through the same thing, obviously. But he said, you know, look, he said, there's a certain, you know, element. You better be trained in some things that you can do to defend yourself, too. And not just be reliant on having guns, because if somebody were to come in and take those guns, we all know that Obama's order actually put us at a huge disadvantage from then on. And Trump did not reverse it. Biden, of course, loves it, is the fact that they can come and take everything from your home, and it doesn't even have to be an emergency. So all that preparedness would then be for naught. And so I do think it's important to split it up, have it in several places, have it so maybe people can't find it as easily. I think that we get a little smarter, a little stealthier about the things that we can do right now. And it isn't just about making sure you have what you need in the area that you think you're going to store it the easiest, because honestly, I do think that we'll be sharing things. I think that communities will band together. I think that you need to be in a community that you know you could band together with like-minded people that will help protect people if something were to happen. This, what makes me nervous about this administration is that they're kind of hell-bent on the chaos. They like the chaos. They're doing everything they can to remove good officers, to remove police departments into more of like a national thuggery, and work like a military, but not a military made up like we think of our own military, but the thugs, right? And this is what they want. And so if something ever went down, like he said there was no cops anywhere. Everyone was on their own, basically, but in groups. So you had to rely on the group. So don't go so far out that if a lot of people were able to find you on a piece of property that you couldn't get out of that situation, right? So you kind of have to think of it in terms of staying close to those that are like-minded, that you know will protect you, that have your best interests because you're all working together. Make sure you have a lot of things on hand, because in the next, I would say, 2 to 3 years, I think we're still going to be in those plenty years of the 7-year cycle. And I do feel like there is some time here to work with to get ahead. And as they go to digital currency and tracking and all of these things, it's going to be harder to acquire things on your card. They're going to know you have them. So using cash is going to be probably your best way to make sure that you can accumulate things. While you can. So use cash as much as you possibly can, right? And get together the little things that you don't really think about, you know, the sewing kits, the ability to have a line to dry things on. You know, if you're without electricity, if we had a huge EMT, what is it called? the, you know, big electrical event. Sorry, I was thinking EMT. Electrical event, then if you didn't have electricity tomorrow, what would you do, right? So you got to kind of think in those terms. Go Amish. Think Amish a little. And think about how they get by, what they do, the things that they do and sell, actually, in the Amish stores online. Great resource. They have a little washing machine that you don't need. It's just a crank one, you know. There's little things like that. And like you said, containers were important, too. To have enough containers to wash clothes, to make a toilet, to do all of these things. And garbage bags were a big deal. Garbage bags. So the hygiene thing should really make us all aware about how important that was and how much we need that as well. Because I think sometimes we concentrate on the food and forget some of the other stuff. I hope this was beneficial to you and got you thinking a little bit. Maybe spend Sunday nights. We used to watch the Disney Channel on Sunday nights, right? Ooh, now, you know, Disney's kind of gone off the bend. But maybe at this point in time, watching somebody teach how to do something, make a water well, you know, make a well for water. All of those things are very important, I think. And maybe we could be teaching our kids maybe one night a week how to do things. I think it's important. I'll even take some calls on this if you want to when I come back in this next hour before we talk a little bit more about science. And I will be right back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Get this podcast and share it.